Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
I feel like I got multiple bevies on deck. I got my big water. I got a diet ginger beer. I fucking love ginger beer. And I was talking to Eric. I was like, why do I like ginger beer more than ginger ale? And he was like, there's a tier list. There's like a tier of ginger. And I was like, what? He's like, it goes ginger beer is the most ginger, less sugar. Ginger ale, which is like half and half. And then ginger soda, which is like more sugar, less ginger. And I was like, no fucking shit. Like, I learned something new.
I need to Google it. What is that drink? I used to drink them all the time. I really liked them when I was like an alcoholic. And it had ginger beer in it. A Moscow Mule.
Oh, that's what I'd make. I make mocktails. It's a Moscow Mule mocktail. Jesus Christ. But I use this ginger beer and then I cut up limes.
Is that like a diet ginger beer?
Yes.
You get that at the Costco?
I actually get it from the neighborhood Walmart. They don't have ginger beer in bulk at Costco. One of their very few shortcomings.
Send me your Moscow Mule recipe because I'm gonna make one. But I need to get one of those.
Oh, it's like not like a recipe, girl. It's just like I get a rocks glass. I put some ice in it. Mm-mm. I like squeeze maybe half a lime, and then I pour in like the ginger beer. That's it.
Well, okay.
I don't know that warrants a recipe. That's just more me being like, that's good enough.
I just need the details because my brain's like fried. My brain's fried because my fucking gut microbiome's multiplying because of my stress. Like the microbes are just having a party. They're inviting all their friends. I'm being dramatic about it. But like anytime I get stressed, I'm like, I always resort back to that because I just know like the brain gut, like, connection. I'm like, yeah. Just spaz since I went to like that gut health phase, and I'm always like, oh man, like it's coming back.
They're multiplying, they're taking over,
dude. Honestly, I think about that all the time. I'm literally just like, all right, they like stressful situation, they just start having a bunch of gut microbiome sex and reproducing. Yeah, that's what I think.
100%. Dude, that's wild. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you're under quite a lot, but that's why even like texting, I was like, just show yourself a little bit of grace, because like,
yeah,
you're not like Ash, you are not a lazy fucking person.
Oh my God,
like, you are not someone that just sits on their ass manifesting without like putting work and action and thought into every decision you make. But I know for me, like, when we are overwhelmed, it is so easy to be reactionary and to be emotional when it's just like, everything will work out. I just honestly, a lot of the time, we just need to be patient. And like, that's so hard, just to be patient and to sit with things and just to be like, you know what? I'm overwhelmed, but it'll be okay because I've been through overwhelming and difficult things before and I'm still fucking alive.
Dude, and like, let me tell you, like, reactionary is so insane being like postpartum. Like, I don't know if I've talked about it, but there's like a thing called postpartum rage. And I swear to God, it's so true. Like, it's insane to me because I used to be like this growing up because this is how my like father acted. So it was like a learned behavior where you're just like mad, reactive, yell, stomp your feet, like, what the fuck ever, like, just crazy shit. And I worked really hard in therapy for like 5 years to get away from that and just be like, like you said, have patience, relax, calm, like process what's actually going on, because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's, yeah, everything's gonna work out. It really is. Like, and like, since having this baby, I'm so like reactive to everything, and it's like on a fucking 10. Like last night, like the smoke detector like kept going off and I just fucking like broke it. I was like, all right, I'm done with it. Yeah, like I was like, and I texted Alex and I was like, we're going to the grocery store tomorrow, can you just put smoke detector. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't even know if it's like a hormonal shift or if it's just like evolutionary wise. It's like, I have a thing I must now protect with my life. And therefore, mm-hmm, it's like that aggression, like, is it because you gave birth or is it because you are now responsible for taking care of another human being and their success on like carrying on like genetic potential, where it's like, it's almost just like that literal fight or flight response where it's like, you're ready to go. You're ready to fucking
yeah
haul ass on the smoke detector.
Dude, yeah, it's like funny you say that because I literally like look at people and I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't even. I looked at Alex one day and I was like, I don't even fucking care if there was something that you did that I didn't like for AJ. I would kill you. I love you, but I would fucking kill you, dude. And like, I'm just like, I can't believe I say that, but like, something in me, like, I
Yeah.
don't know if it's like instinctual, like you said, like it's just like, I don't know, like
I
I'm
think
just
it
like.
is instinctual. Like, I think it's you definitely have like the literal mama bear instinct. And I think that is funny that you broke your smoke detector. Now I'm gonna rag on myself and talk about my isms. There's a cat. Hello.
There's
Every
a cat.
Sunday I typically do laundry because that's just usually how the hamper fills. It's like normally Sunday night and Wednesday morning, I'll like do laundry. And I was so excited because like I did laundry randomly, I think on Friday. And I was like so excited because I was like, oh, I'm not gonna need to do laundry Sunday night. Sure shit, Sunday night rolls around. Eric's watching football, and I'm sitting there digging my hand, and I'm like, I need to do laundry.
Oh.
So what do I do? I was like, I need something to wash so I can finish my week and start Monday
Yeah.
fresh.
Oh.
And so literally I stripped the sheets.
I was gonna say bedroom stuff.
I stripped the sheets. I did two loads. I washed the sheets and got those all taken care of. And then this morning I finished the darks and like dried them and hung them up and stuff. But dude, Eric was like, you vacuumed twice on Sunday. He's like, you vacuumed Sunday morning. And he's like, you vacuumed Sunday night. And it was so bad to the point, like you can you see that little grate up there? It looks dirty still, but it's not.
Oh.
I took the vacuum cleaner and just like sucked that bitch up with all the dust bunnies and stuff because it hadn't been done since we bought the goddamn house 3 years
Oh.
ago. And
Yeah.
he was like, "What just happened?" And I was like, "I don't know," but like I couldn't sit down until I did the laundry. He was like, "What is wrong with you?"
Dude, I used to be like that, and like I had to work through fucking therapy with it because like I was like very adamant, like same thing, like laundry was done on a certain day,
Yeah.
like certain things with like my dishes, and I remember like having to be like with my therapist, she's like, no, like you need to do it on a different day, like we would schedule like our virtual therapies like on like, because I used to do it on Tuesdays, we schedule them on Thursday, and on our fucking call she'd be like, you're taking your hamper, you're putting it downstairs, you're starting the washer, and girl, like I would have like fucking breakdowns. Like that's how bad it was. Like I would be
It's
sobbing.
hard.
I know. And it's like, but it's funny because it's just like it's not even that big of a deal. Like, you know, like when you put like bird's eye view, you're like, okay, who cares? It's a different day. But like I get like anxious and like I'm all over the place. If like my routine is off, which being a mom, my routine has been off for the last 9 fucking months. And now that like I'm done breastfeeding, my routine's gonna change again. And I'm fuck yeah, it's exciting, but I'm also like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Like my routine has been like
Yeah.
sit down, breastfeed at this time, this time, this time, this time. And now like, oh, like I'm talking about it, it's giving me anxiety. I'm like, what am I gonna do? But like, it's just so funny to me because like at the end of the day, like it's really not that big of a deal, but we're like so, I don't know, like in our minds, in our just like behavior patterns, like I don't know. Like I like to be on routine, so it's hard to like stray away from that because I find comfort and satisfaction in that. But like you said, like to deviate from it, it's like I act like the world is literally ending and it's fucking not.
Bro, we have grocery store parking spots. Like, I know we're fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, dude, yeah. Speaking of like, I just like want to chat on some other things and then we can get into our topic of how to be a grand old bodybuilder since we talked about why you suck ass last week. So name your prices back. Do you want to talk about that for you?
Oh, it is, yes. And I know it's like
I'm
I
curious.
said adamantly that I don't do deals. And it's not a deal or a discount. It is like my services are my services, right? You have set prices for what you offer, but I understand that like shit's expensive. Like, like coaching is a luxury service, even if you're working with like a coach on your health and stuff like that. So it's yeah, for until the end of October. So by the time this bitch goes live on the 26th, you'll have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 days until October 1st to essentially hop on a call, see what it is that you want to accomplish, see what you need to succeed. And if we're a good fit together, then yeah, you get to name your price for 3 months and I will match my services to your needs and we'll get rocking and rolling. And I already have like calls set up, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I was like wondering like how that works with like name your price. Cause like obviously like someone can't be like, hey, I can only afford $50 for the month and I want like you to review my lab work. I want you to build me a custom program, tell me all my supplements, also check in every single week. Like, so I was just curious as to like
Yeah,
how.
it's a name your price, and I match my services to
Okay.
what you can budget. But if you can only budget, again, it's for a paid in full for 3 months. But if you can only afford $50 a month in coaching, you don't get my services.
Yeah.
If you could only afford $50 a month, like that's something where it's like get a gym membership.
Dude, I fucking in the last 24 hours have spent $300. So, and that's it's two things were fucking retarded, but I mean, it just goes to show like I bought some extra pacifiers that we didn't necessarily need, but we will need in the future because they go missing. And then, like, just some other shit on Amazon. And then I paid to have my groceries, two groceries, my almond milk and my Diet Coke delivered, which was extra fucking money I didn't need to spend, but I did not feel like packing my kid up. But I mean, that just goes to show there's just like money that I just spent that like could have went towards something a little bit more beneficial. But like, so $50 a month is like, how much did you spend in like the last like 24 fucking hours, like, you know, on shit like on an Amazon order or on like, I don't necessarily need, I didn't need almond milk this fucking morning. Like, I could have had my coffee black, to be honest with you, but I was like, all right, I guess I will pay $3 for delivery fee and the upcharge of it being more expensive because I'm buying it online versus going in the store. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, $50 a month is like really cheap. That's just a number I threw out there. But I get it. Shit is expensive, but also too, like a lot of us spend money like there's no fucking tomorrow on dumb shit.
It's never financial. Like at the end of the day, it's never an aspect of finances. You're right, because like we pay for shit all the time. It's a thing of priority. So let's take you for
Yeah.
example. You prioritized almond milk in your coffee because it brings you joy. In a time when your life is very chaotic and stressful, you deemed it worth almond milk in your coffee. That's how you took care of yourself, right? Like you
Yeah.
also valued your time. You didn't want to pack up your kid and go to the store for something small. That is a stress on you. It is a stress on your child. And so you essentially paid for peace. And that I think is also noteworthy, especially as a new mom where you are like in new routines, and especially when like you're changing your entire life because you went from, breastfeeding to now not breastfeeding. So it's like you're in a change and in a flux. And so in your mind, it's like it was worth the, what was it? The juice is worth the squeeze, and that's totally fine. But it was never about money. It was about priorities. And I think that is super important to acknowledge.
And that's like so funny because like about like priority like priorities and like what's worth it and like what's not, because like I literally want to buy new workout clothes just to buy them, but like my life is so chaotic and so stressful that like the $200 I was going to spend on clothes, I'm going to probably hire a cleaning lady to come clean my house for a few hours a week, because that's going to save me the mental load and I don't really necessarily need new clothes, but like that's going to benefit me and prioritize my health and save me time so I can actually focus on things that matter, like my family, prepping my own meals, getting to the gym versus cleaning 3 hours a week. So yeah, that's funny. That's awesome. But I think that's great. So if you guys need to schedule a call with Ash, do it. We're just gonna plug it in here. I don't know why I'm in the mood to plug that in for you, but I love it. So schedule a call, name your price. It has to be at least over $50. And don't say 51. This isn't The Price is Right.
The price is wrong, Bob.
dude, I love that shit. That was a good game show. So yeah. Essentially, today, let's talk about how to be a great, fantastic bodybuilder. And this is something that I strongly believe continues. Like, I don't think you'll be great ever, maybe, but I think you continue to be like strive for greatness, strive for excellence because we can always improve. But there are like a lot of things that make you like a good bodybuilder, hence maybe a great bodybuilder, but like you shouldn't settle just for great. You should continue to keep moving that needle forward when it comes to like excelling in the sport and your success and who and how you want to show up for yourself in the sport.
Absolutely. The thing about like wanting to be better is it is a work in progress, but things are only a work in progress if you're actively working on them. Like, don't just be that person on Instagram where it's just like, oh, it's constantly work in progress, but like you're not really working toward anything meaningful. Like your actions aren't intentional. You're not following a plan or a programming. You're not owning your shortcomings or your shit. Like there is a method to the madness, and it's not really mad when you look at the grand scheme of things, but like I feel like people just get people, me, you, we're people too. We become very, very emotional, and that clouds our judgment. And I think one of the big key successors that I personally have learned from is to be less emotional in your programming and in your life, and not be so reactionary, right? Not be so quick to anger or quick to be emotional. Like, feel whatever it is that is instantaneous, because that is uncontrollable. But how you express that emotion, that is within your power. So sometimes it's just like sitting with it, like giving yourself a fucking second to process whatever it is that's going on, and then being like, what do I need to do to be successful? And I know that is so much easier fucking said than done, because that is something that I'm actively working on. But again, actively working on it, here's the secret: it gets better when you do. It just takes time.
Yeah, and like there is it does. It takes time and practice to like have that emotion and like not react on it. Like I think about all the time when like I was younger and like you have like a, you know, a silly boyfriend in high school and like they say something wrong and you're instantly like down their throat texting them back like what did you mean by that text, blah blah blah, versus like you don't have to like react on that at all. Like, and that requires like so much energy and so much time and so much stress that like is unnecessary. Like, and what helped me become like less emotionally attached to it, I guess you could say, is like asking myself like, is this worth it for me to get upset? And then the pride and satisfaction I would have of not reacting to it, like that made me feel really good because I was someone that was like very reactive, and now I'm back to that same behavior pattern. And it's like, okay, but like every time I didn't react on something, every time I was able to take a step back and breathe, I felt such a sense of pride, such a sense of like, wow, I'm actually doing better. I'm working on this. And then imagine that, like my protocols got easier. I wasn't in that mental battle of always like, oh man, like, is this right? Is this wrong? My physique started changing. Like I just felt a lot better. And then in tune, like I started enjoying bodybuilding, the process a lot more because it wasn't always like felt like an uphill battle, a reaction. Oh my God, like what are my emotions feeling? It was more just executing. It was like, okay, yeah, like this is fun, this is cool. Just like check that box. And then at the end of the day, you're gonna feel good when you check that box. It's that cause and effect. But like knowing that, getting to the point where like, okay, if I do this, then this is bound to happen and I'm going to feel this way. Versus like, oh man, like I could feel either way, and I could react on it, versus like just kind of continuing to have that patience, wait for those emotions to pass, and then at the end of the day, no, be like, okay, yeah, like cool, sweet, awesome. Like I didn't react on that and everything, I'm happy, I'm proud, I feel good, like check my box. Because another side of this coin too is like with those emotions, like we get real good at talking ourselves out of shit. Real good. Like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I'm depressed. I don't really have motivation. Like, okay, I'll just give myself the day off. I'm not going to meet my steps. And it's like, okay, well, can we like physically not meet our steps for a reason? Are we actually sick? Versus like, oh, is it just, oh, I'm just feeling down. I'm just, and like we do have those days, but like in the grand schemes of things, like the bodybuilder next to you on stage probably had the same amount of horrible days as you did, if not more, and still hit their steps and still executed the plan. I mean, shit's hard, don't get me wrong, but like to make you a better bodybuilder is like you just gotta do the shit.
I would call my mom, because that's a very anabolic thing. If your mom's alive, call your mom. I was on a call with her this morning, and she was telling me like all the stuff that's going on in the background of my family up in Ohio, and things aren't great right now. And she said, like, if it's not one thing, it's the other. And like, how many times have we said, like, oh, if it's not one thing, it's the other? But like, that's a symptom of being alive. Like, things happen in life, great things, horrific things, but how you respond to them, the actions that you take or what you think about a circumstance and situation, that is whether or not you actually suffer. Like, you and I could take the same situation and react totally differently. And that's obviously a culmination of previous experiences, like how we grew up, et cetera, et cetera. But how we respond dictates whether or not we have that emotional stress response, right? And I know a big turning point for Ash, because she said this multiple times, was Mark was like, let me do my job, let me coach. It's like, you don't need to worry about that anymore. He's like, that's why you hired me. And that for you is a big aha moment. But I think a lot of the times it's like we get so consumed with control and so consumed with having to micromanage everything that it causes us to unravel and to have this stress response. But it's like when you hire a coach, like you don't have to make those decisions anymore about like how you need to get your, you know, your result, your progress or whatever. Like you get to let go. I know that can be very difficult for some, but that's also so freeing. So you can focus your time and attention on things that actually need it in your day-to-day life.
I'm gonna rat myself out. This is
Oh, she's
hilarious.
ratting. She's ratting.
Ratting. So, just like going back into like that trivial moment for me of like, Mark takes that stress away from me, and I was a little bit feeling emotional around this. So, long story short, I think it was like Thursday night. I worked all day at the hospital. Very stressful day. I was like, I'm gonna come home. I'm gonna unwind. Smoked a bowl. Smoked some marijuana. Fucking. Ate just like not like a whole bunch of shit, but I like had like another meal and my food was done for the day. Like I literally had like nothing bad, like just like chicken breast, almond butter, rice, and I think I had a banana in there. And I was like, whatever. Like I was high, I ate. I'm like, God damn it. And the old me would have stayed up all night ruminating about it. Like, oh my God, I went over. This is terrible. This is bad. Oh my God, like what did I do? I woke up, I was like 2.5 pounds lighter, and I was like, damn it, like I do hate that, and that's annoying. But I was like, I'm not gonna have the emotions with it. What it is this fucking data. Mark can yell at me if he wants, Mark can do what he wants with it. But here, guess what happened? I overate, my weight went up. Let's see how many days it takes for me to flush it out, and go from there. You know? I mean, like it is what it is. I mean, and I'm gonna admit that and I'm gonna tell him that. And like, even if the opposite happened, if I overate and lost 4 pounds, I'd be like, holy shit, like I still need to rat myself out because one, that's data that's like, oh my God, you ate and lost fucking weight. So again, but like to just tie it in is like, yeah, the old me used to be like so emotionally tied. And then I'd be like, I fucked up. I'm a failure. I don't deserve to be a bodybuilder. Like just that ruminating. And like, that's like causes detrimental, like to your journey and to your, you know, physique, as well as just like your overall experience and like who you are as a bodybuilder. So like, yeah, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like I would like to be perfect, but like the thing is like, which slides into like our next tidbit here on like, you know, like being consistent is what makes you a good one, a good bodybuilder. It's just like, hey, okay, like I had this slip up, like learn from it and grow, right? So like, what am I gonna do? Well, I'm not gonna use marijuana to manage my stress anymore and overeat. So like, nip that, because I was anxious like the following days after it because I smoked.
Sure.
And yeah, so I was just like, okay, not ideal, not good for me, learned. But like it, like just going to show that like you can grow and you can get better. And it all comes down to like your mindset, your experience of like, all right, well, like I not my problem. Like, yeah, I caused this problem because of what I did. But on the back end of it, it's like, okay, well, how do we fix it moving forward? Okay, one, like for me, we're just not gonna do it. We're gonna be honest, we're not gonna do it, and we're gonna move forward. But like having all those emotions tied to it for multiple days, like what is that gonna, where's that gonna get me? It's just gonna make the next following days fucking miserable. Like I could just see myself like old self, like stepping on the scale like multiple times during the day, or like trying to go back to bed, or trying to shit it all out, or you know what I'm saying,
Yo,
or
get
waiting.
that enema. Let's go.
Yeah. Or like waiting till like fucking 1 p.m. to like put my weight in, like because I'm like, oh, I gotta wait for all that water and inflammation to come down, or whatever the fuck I'd tell myself.
I actually think it brings up a better point of owning your shit. And that's another thing that people like, how you can be successful in being a better bodybuilder is owning your shit. Like you have no business, in my opinion, owning your successes and your wins if you can't acknowledge your failings and shortcomings, because it's a whole package deal, right? But that's also where like your power is if you're able to acknowledge that this is where you fell short and fucked up, you own it, you tell your coach, you fess up. Like, in my opinion, like your coach has no reason to yell at you or scream at you or call you names. They're like, hey, listen, you fucked up. What are you gonna do about it? Like that right there is so fucking powerful, where it's like, what am I gonna do about it? Right? Like when you pay for a coach, when you hire a coach, like you are there because you have something that you want to accomplish. It is on you. So your ability to be able to acknowledge that this is a weakness for you, like your nugs were your weakness, right? You smoked your bowl, you ate your food. That was a weakness. So what did you decide to do, Ash? You were like, listen, I'm not gonna do this anymore. This clearly is not a good coping mechanism for me. Sure, it was great in the moment, but like it doesn't align with my long-term goals. It doesn't make me feel good. I don't like how it makes me feel out of control. when it comes to like my decision making, right? Like it impaired my ability to think critically about like what I actually want out of life. So you stopped. And that is where you got better.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like or like you said, you just gotta own it and move on and learn. You gotta learn from it. That's a big thing too. It's like you have to make the changes and adapting to it. But yeah, it can be hard to own your shit too at times. But you know, I mean, it makes you a better person, a better bodybuilder. And then this is gonna be my favorite on the list, to be honest with you. Playing like the long game. I think that, I mean, we've talked about it like multiple times on here as well. It's like, but like essentially, like if we want to get into like real sciencey stuff, like not real sciencey, but like muscle isn't built over fucking night, dude. Like, and that's what you need for this fucking sport. And you also need to mature in this sport. Like, you get better with every prep, you get better with every time you meal prep, you get better, you know, every time you consistently drink your water every day. Like, it gets easier. I remember like when I first started bodybuilding, I was like, oh my God, how am I gonna drink 120 ounces? It's like so hard. And now I'm like, oh my God, 120 ounces, and it's like 3 p.m. I'm like, well, there's that. Like, kind of drink all my water for the fucking day. Like, you know, like things like, oh, fuck me.
So true, dude.
Yeah. But like, and like, the longer you're in it, like, the honestly, like, I think everything starts to, like, on this list, like, trickle down. Like you said, like, you start to have less emotions. You're less tied to all that shit. You're executing more. Like, you're owning your own shit day in and day out. Like, even if you're in prep and you're doing fucking cardio and you're like, oh man, like I didn't even hit it as hard as I wanted to. Like I was at like a fucking three versus like a four walking on the treadmill speed, you know? And it's like, damn, like that's on me. So it's like, I just think like the longer you're in the game, you're also like becoming more educated. You're falling in love with it. You're building more muscle. You're not having all these quick fixes. You're not completely destroying your body because we do know this isn't healthy, but like you're not doing all these quick fixes where you're like, oh man, like I'm not lean enough at 4 days out. Let me just slam diuretics and whatever else you're trying to do. I'm dead serious. Like, you know, it's like add on those couple weeks that you need to in prep, be in it a little bit longer, be in the off season a little bit longer and build that muscle density. So it's easier to get leaner.
Exactly.
You know, and I think a lot of people just still, and I don't know how we're at, actually, I do know how we're at this point, but it's just like, all right, next spring, 16 weeks. I'm gonna prep. That's it. And it's like, that doesn't make you a good fucking bodybuilder. I'm sorry. I don't even think you should call yourself a bodybuilder. That's probably shitty for me to say. But I mean, in my opinion, like, this is a lifestyle. I mean, yeah, it's a sport and it's a hobby, but also, too, like, to be decent, to be good, like, you have to adapt these lifestyles, these changes, the things that align with the sport.
Any decision you make that takes away from like the long game is probably doing you a disservice as a bodybuilder, right? It's like, you know, like you said, like the quick diuretics. Like it's not that those things don't have a time and a place, but like diuretics ain't gonna do shit if you're still fat. You know what I'm saying? Like you're
Yeah.
just gonna look even more soft. So it's like, don't do things. Don't like what is the phrase? Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Like
Wait,
play,
what is that? What is it?
don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
I've
That's
never heard that.
you haven't heard that. Yeah, it's just like essentially don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Like don't do something that like fucking screws you over in the long term. And I get people are impatient and I get we got to have it now as a culture and society, but like no, you fucking don't. Like good things take time to build. And like you were building your habits, you were building the resiliency, you were building the mind, you were building up your body, right? So like when it comes to contest prep, don't just like, you know, do the 16 week, the 12 week, like arbitrary days out. Like in the off season, don't just like pound yourself with food and drugs and have to pull back and do health phases because your GI is messed up or because, you know, you use too many drugs and your body like had a really poor reaction to it. Like be smart. And if you do things right, that is more difficult, right? It is difficult because maybe it's not as sexy or it's not as glamorous, but you will be more successful long term. And that matters in bodybuilding.
Yeah, I like someone once said, I mean, multiple people probably said it, but like, do you just want to do this once or like, do you want longevity in it? And like, I feel like longevity, like, not only if you like enjoy the sport too, but it also teaches you like a lot of like life lessons and how to manage health and how to love your body at like all phases, all sides. I think like, you know, this does have like a profound impact on like all facets of life. And I think Another thing too, which is this topic too, is like not only like in your like to enhance your life, like I think the community that comes with it is huge. I think you can't do bodybuilding alone, even though it is an individual sport. Like you do kind of stand up there by yourself, but I do think you need the community, you need the friends, you need the support, because if you have not gone through a prep, if you have not done this, if you have not aligned your life with this, you don't know what it's like. And your friends and your family and people who've never done it cannot sympathize, they cannot relate, they cannot understand. Sure, they can be supportive, absolutely, 100%. Like, you know, Eric's really supportive of you, Alex is really supportive of me, but they don't understand deep into prep, low food, extreme exhaustion, with there is no option to really say no. I mean, yes, there is. Like, obviously, like, no one's holding a gun to your head, but like, the discipline and dedication that you do have to your goal is one that far exceeds probably more than what people can mentally handle. So I feel like you do need the community. I mean, I've met some of my best friends, obviously, and then I mean, you've met my other friend Aubrey. She doesn't compete anymore, but met her through bodybuilding, through Instagram, you know? And it's like you need those people. And I honestly, they're the ones that like pick you up and like carry you the way to be successful in the sport. I mean, how many times have I said since I've been a mom, like, I'm gonna quit? And you're like, no, dude, like, you love this. You do this for you. Like, it's not really an option. It's just you're having a hard time. And it's okay to have a hard time. But like, I'm so grateful for you and everyone else who has been there, who understands like the sport means a lot to me. And it's like, no, like, we're here to carry you. It's just like, I mean, there's been like every single week, Ash always asks, what can I do? How can I support you? Where can I help you? Is there anything I can do? Like to make this easier for me while being a mom and transitioning. And it's like, wow, like, where do you find that community? Because a lot of my other friends love them to death, non-bodybuilders. So just you don't really always have to go to the gym. It's like, you don't understand. Like, I love it so much. That's where I want to be, but it's hard to be there.
Absolutely. There's two things I want to say. So one about like the community aspect. Like Eric, the lowest his calories have ever been. And granted, he is 6'2", like we'll say 180 now, but like back when he was having severe GI issues, you know, normally he eats like between 3 and 4,000 calories, just ballparking it. I cut his food down to 1,700 for just like a week or two, just to again pull back on the digestive stress of eating food. He, and again, sweetie, I love him so much. And as he edits this, sweetie, I love you. I appreciate you. He was the biggest fucking asshole. He was so grumpy, hungry, angry, whatever. He had such a shit attitude. And I was like, bro, I get it. I get it. I also know as your coach why I'm asking you to do this, but we will increase your food when you stop like having all this GI stress. But like, dude, you gotta understand. We're playing the long game here. Like, we're doing this just temporary, just to give your body a fucking break. And like, I get it. Like, because he's not a competitor and he's not a bodybuilder, but he does support me. Like, not everyone needs to be a bodybuilder. Not everyone needs to do that extreme, like, caloric deficit. And like I said, he's not even a bodybuilder. We were just like trying to give him a fucking break. And
Break,
it
yeah.
was hard. Like, mentally, he like could not handle it. And it's like, I get it, but that also goes to show you that like not everyone needs to be a bodybuilder, but you still do need that support in that community. And something I even want to highlight today with my own athletes is I had a girl, she is wanting to be a competitor. We're kind of like cleaning up again GI health or whatever. She actually referred her friend who's just a lifestyle client. And the lifestyle client had a very difficult week and she texted the athlete being like, I'm not gonna check in on Monday. And the athlete was like, absolutely not. Like you like essentially hired a coach to get you where you want to go. Like part of that is that accountability, the ownership of you not being on plan and having deviations, right? The lifestyle client, she showed up, she owned her fucking shit. And she was like, I don't need, she's like, I know this on me, but honest feedback is something I would appreciate. And I didn't yell at her, I didn't chastise her. I was like, listen, you fell short, but let me tell you why that was a win this week. You owned your shit. You fessed up. You could have not checked in. You could have been like, nope, great week. You know, you could have lied to me. I would know, but I wouldn't know. But the fact that you're like, you know what? No, I didn't do as good as I know I could do. Like, that's powerful. The competitive athlete, she also didn't have like the most amazing week. She had her own deviations, her own personal shit. She owned up, she fessed to it. So not only do I have these two athletes owning their shit, they got better because they are part of a network, a part of a community that even though they have different like goals and aspirations, one wants to step on stage, one just wants to get healthier, like they together got better. And that's so fucking cool to see as a coach too, because it's like, if they didn't have one another, like who knows what this week could have looked like. So that community is so fucking important to have, to hold you to a higher standard, to be there when you're emotional and have a hard time, and to also like kind of put the blinders back on and being like, hey, listen, like you said you wanted to get better. And so that accountability just within your friend group, I think, is also so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And like, I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons why I ended up integrating with Classic Coaching, was because I wanted a better community for my girls that were on my team. And then for myself, like as a coach too, like I wanted to, you know, constantly be able to be in the mix, bouncing ideas off of them and having them educate me as well. So, I mean, yeah, because I strongly believe like community is really important. It's very profound in someone's like progress and experience too, to be honest with you. I mean, like, because a lot of people just think they're like doing it on their own. Because I mean, they do. I mean, essentially, like, look at the world. Like, you hear this a lot of time. Like, you bring a salad to a party and people are like, are you dieting? Like, or like you order a salad at dinner. It's like, no, I'm not dieting. I just thought I could eat a salad. Like, you know,
because salad, dude. Salad, right. Slab.
Right.
Dude, what's your favorite fucking salad? Go.
Like, does it have to be like a healthy one?
I did. No, it's just your favorite fucking salad. Like, oh. I asked you that question. Oh. You automatically had a salad. What's your salad?
Oh, yeah. Popped in my head. Greek salad from Panera Bread.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, dog. So I have a salad tier list, right? So I'm gonna answer it with Fat Ashley, and then I don't know what you want to call it, the Fitness Ashley. The best fucking salad when I was fat was a Bob Evans Wildfire motherfucking chicken salad with ranch.
Oh, let me look that up,
dude. I feel like it's like 1500 calories.
So, right? Like, did you have a Bob Evans obsession? I feel like.
Dude, my family fucking love Bob Evans. God bless Bob and his Evans. Like, it's just so fucking Bob good. Evans
chicken salad. Okay.
Dude, we loved that fucking dressing so much. We would have ranch at home, obviously, but obviously, like, the Wildfire sauce that Bob Evans makes, like, we fucking had that in our fridge at home.
It was like crispy chicken.
It was crispy chicken. They had the tortilla strips, cheese. Yeah.
Oh, the wildfire sandwich.
Bro, they still fucking have that. And that is like, and I'm almost 30. I had that shit when I was like 10, thinking I was being healthy because I'm eating a fucking salad. But it's like, again, like 1500 fucking calories. But dude, that is like a 20-year-old salad that slaps titties.
Dude. So, you know how they give you like the calorie markers on their website now, allegedly. So this is like the range of the calories. So the salad starts at 1,040 calories to 6,000 calories, depending on what you order.
Bitch, you know I have the fucking ranch too. So we probably was a damn near 6,000 calorie.
Yeah. Did you eat the dinner rolls with it? That's what probably puts it at 6,000.
Oh, probably. Okay. Probably. Yeah, I mean, I had rolls on rolls. I didn't pass up a dinner roll.
Right. Yeah. There was like no way you were saying
Jesus,
that.
Jesus, God. So yeah, that was my Fat Ashley era, the Bob Evans Wildfire Chicken Salad. God bless. And then the salad that I would eat definitely now would probably come from Panera Bread, but they got rid of it. It was their Thai chicken salad. They got rid of it.
What was it?
It was a Thai chicken salad. It had like it was like a peanut sauce, and it was a little spicy.
I love like Thai peanut shit.
Dude, so fucking good, right? But I digress. Salads are awesome. But yeah, that just goes to show you like how fucked up our culture is when it comes to food. It's like, it is amazing how food focused we are and our obsession with food, to where certain food has fucking release dates now. Like, brand new food items have release dates, or we have like fucking, like, you know, the menu of the week for like artificial food and shit like that. I'm like, we are so obsessed with food, yet so fucking malnourished. It is depressing.
It is. It does make me sad that, like, I don't know why we have such a gravitational pull towards that.
It's a cultural thing, of course, but like, dude, we just fucking ruined it. Like, literally, Eric was watching like a video where it was like, how did America ruin bread? And it was just like all of this artificial fucking shit pumped into it just because we wanted it to last longer. while it was sliced. And that's how we ruined bread, with all these artificial like colorings, flavorings, dyes, chemicals to preserve shelf life. And it was like, we ruined shit because we're so focused on convenience and quick fixes. And it's like, it doesn't need to be that way. Like, damn.
Dude, it's, yeah. I mean, again, not in it for the long haul.
Mm-mm.
It's like fucking annoying. But I mean, it's hard to be patient, and we've talked about that as well, like, you know, instant gratification versus, I don't know, what's the opposite of instant gratification? Long gratification? Delayed?
Delayed gratification. Yeah,
that's honestly what it is, honestly. Like, I mean, it's hard to wait and feel satisfied, but like, I think it just makes it that taste that much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a big one that like I am starting to really like hone in on is honestly just being grateful. Like just being grateful that you get to do not only bodybuilding, but like, bruh, you woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some people like that's what like I get frustrated and angry with myself because I'm like bitching about something so small, like a nagging injury or fucking hip symmetry or I don't even know, like pick anything that's so fucking small that's not a real problem. Like I can be grateful for literally, I should be grateful for anything. But like sometimes I get so focused on the negative and so wrapped up in my own shit that I fail to realize that the reason why I am suffering is because how I view a situation. And like you can view any hard situation through a lens that somehow gives you a positive outcome or a positive reaction. And it takes work and it is fucking hard. Cause I know there are people that have been through some fucking shit, but there is a reason for everything. And your ability to rise above any poor situation, any past hardship is so fucking powerful. And like you can be going through the worst of times and still be a happy motherfucker. Like we see it on the news. Like we see like this person that had, you know, a shit life or whatever, and they are doing good in their own community. They have every reason to be a sorry sap, but instead they're making a positive impact. And that like always like gives me fucking goosebumps. It's like, holy shit. Like if they can be grateful and have missing limbs or some type of hardship or difficulty that genuinely makes their life more difficult and still have a fucking smile on their face, bruh.
Mm-hmm. I've been like telling myself that like I'm so like overwhelmed, but like I'm so happy to be overwhelmed. Like I'm like, wow, I'm grateful that I have like, you know, this new coaching position. I'm getting new clients, that I have a child that's breathing, that's fucking screaming.
Healthy.
Like, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, and like working in the ER humbles me obviously like real quick with that, cause I see a lot of fucked up shit, but like also too, it's just like, yeah, like not only just being like, oh, like I'm grateful to be alive. It's like, I'm grateful to be alive and have a life that's like fulfilling and like friends and people that care about me and all this stuff. And like that honestly was like trivial for me when it came to like my second bodybuilding prep. Was like, I get to do this. Like I get to check in every week. I can check in every week. Like, you know, like, there's a lot of people that don't. And I'm reading this book right now. I posted it on my Instagram. It's called If You Tell, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about these girls that suffered all this abuse from their mom. And I haven't finished the book. It's a very difficult read, but I was just Googling the story because it's based on a true story. And like the three girls, I think there's three of them, they're all like married now and living life and have kids of their own. And it's like, the details in this book are so fucked up, but the fact that like they have continued on with their life, I mean, what they went through, like I wouldn't even be surprised like if one of them were to like commit suicide at some point. Sure. Because it's so terrible. But they found like love in somebody else, and they've like had their own kids, and it's like, wow, like you're literally the perfect image of like your life was so bad and here you are turning it around. And just like probably so grateful to one, like be alive, and two, be away from all that abuse that they dealt with. And it's like, we have days where it's like, oh yeah, like my hips hurt or my lift wasn't good enough. And it's like, I like at times I feel like I can't even like justify that being like a problem, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a problem, but how big? And that's the thing, is like, it's a problem, but like I can either be like, oh, this is like small potatoes, or I can like fucking grow a whole ass potato farm based on my response. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how Irish do you want to be? So like you just we want like McDonald's French fries, or do we want like I said, we're like doing the full fucking potato farm?
Like
And
we
it's
just turned into the state of Ohio, like what is it, Idaho? Are they the
Idaho,
state?
yeah. You fucking Idaho, you being a hoe?
Seriously,
Potatoes. Yeah,
yeah.
it's
You
just
don't.
like it's the suffering that we put ourselves through because of what we think about a situation, right? And the fact
Yeah.
that those girls were able to literally give themselves a life, that's huge. So it's just again that perception is everything. And again, I know we're like saying this like an easy breezy lemon squeezy, like a fucking Febreze commercial, but like it is a work in progress always on Ash's end, on my end, on our client's end, on your end. But your ability to have a bad like situation happen, pause, feel the emotion. We're not saying you can't cry or be angry or be frustrated, because that is a good way to start to cope. But start that coping process. The coping process. Like, don't let it fester. Don't let it ruminate, because that shit stinks. And if it stinks, it's gonna really, really become a big problem. So it's like, don't be afraid to reach for help. Don't be afraid to read books. There's, online therapy like BetterHelp. There's in-person therapy. And I get everyone's having like a hard time, and therapy can sometimes be like a difficult to get into because of everyone's having a hard time and therapists are booked and maybe insurance doesn't want to pay for it. But like, you would benefit. You would. Ash was in therapy. I was in therapy. Like, it is not a weakness to have a hard time in life. In fact, if you're willing to acknowledge it and work on it, that again shows you your fucking strength. And then when you being able to find great gratitude in fucking a Bob Evans wildfire chicken salad, like that's fucking awesome. Right? Like I could have viewed that question being like, oh, that salad made me fucking fat. Fuck Bob Evans. No, I was elated to talk about my chicken salad experience. Right. And even though I wouldn't order it now, like I have good memories around that with, Bob Evans with my grandparents, dinner rolls with my grandparents. And it's like, listen, those are happy memories when I was a kid. I was a fat kid, but I was still happy.
Yeah, honestly, like, and like, I don't know, happiness is just such a driver for like good quality life, obviously. So if there's one thing you learn from this, obviously have a lot of gratitude and enjoy, like, obviously your experience in bodybuilding. And it's honestly, I think that's going to carry you the most, like that, and just having like the patience to be in this for the long haul and like continue to work on everything, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, like, because the more time you have, the better you're gonna get. Duh.
Yeah. And
Whatever.
bodybuilding, yes, you were building up the body. Duh. Hello. How many times have I fucking said that? But you're like, Ash, shut the fuck up. I hear you. I understand. I too get annoyed with myself. But like, if you can
Bro.
be grateful and you can understand that bodybuilding is a lot more mental than physical, that is how you were not only going to like be able to execute a higher level, own your shit, play the long game, be consistent, all the things we spoke about, like that is how you are going to be a better bodybuilder, right? Like, yes, are there certain circumstances that can speed things up? Yeah, you want to go the enhanced route. Sure, it'll speed things up a little bit, but don't just like blast yourself with gear because you're impatient. Like, don't just like do show after show after show because you think like that's gonna fix you or help you to win or whatever. Like, think about your long-term goals, both in and out of this sport. That right there is really important that I feel like people forget about when it comes to just this whole lifestyle and this sport too.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, it's just one day at a time, people. Like, literally.
My mom
Don't.
always says that. She'll be like, one day at a time, baby girl. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
God, we need a slogan of that. Like, we should make your next hoodie like that. One day at a time, baby
One
girl.
day at a time, baby
I
girl.
fucking buy that
Dude,
for
I'm
sure.
saying like legit, like people need to call their mom. Like I always feel better after calling my mom, even if we don't like talk about anything like super important, just like literally calling my mom and like letting like talk about life or tell the drama or the tea or whatever. Just like that social connection, dude, is so fucking important. Like I already know we talked about community, and dude, someone asked me such a sad anonymous question. They were like, best ways to beat seasonal depression, and like, yeah, vitamin D, but like, dude, continue to be social. Don't just be a fucking hermit because it's cold. Like, I'm not saying you need to like go risk a car accident if it's sleeting out there, but like, people get depressed in the winter because they're cooped up. So it's like, make it a point to do game nights, even if it's virtual. like go see people, go hug people. Like that is so depressing if you just become a fucking hermit because it's cold.
Oh my God, yeah. Like I was even a hermit when I lived in Florida and it wasn't good for my health, so
It's
there.
not. And like you would think because, oh, the sunshine state or whatever the fuck. Like, no, like
Yeah.
isolation is depressing. So fucking depressing.
Yeah, like get outside, people. Like get outside and hug a tree. You need nature too.
Hug a tree, hug like hug your mom and hug a tree.
Yeah. Hug a mom. Hug a tree.
Hire us for coaching.
Yeah. Even if it's not your mom, just hug a mom. Just do
Hug
it.
some dude. Okay, so hold on. We were downtown walking around, right? Eric and I on Sunday. There were two guys out there. It was like free smiles and free hugs. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna hug some random ass motherfucker in downtown Charleston because I'm like, I'm not gonna get mugged. Like, it's not like ghetto like that, but like they might pickpockets me or something like that. I
Yeah.
don't know. But don't like hug strangers if they're
No.
offering free hugs because that
No,
just, I don't
like
know.
hug a mom that you know.
Yeah, I hug Ash's mom and she'd hug my mom. Like, but like, don't hug strangers because
Yeah.
like that's that might be bad news bears.
Yeah. That's all I got. Just hug your mom.
Hug your mom. All right, guys. Peace.
Adios.